In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Take out your pen or pencil if you've got one. If you don't, let's get ready to make some mental notes. We're going to make some quick revisions to the translation of the gospel text. Take a pen and in verse 9, cross out wealth and write in mammon. M-A-M-M-M-O-N. M-A-M-M-O-N. Mammon. Do the same thing down there in verse 11. Cross out wealth, put in mammon. And in verse 13, cross out money and write in mammon. And this will help clear up the text a bit. So verse 9, 11, and 13. Mammon is the ancient word for earthly money and possessions. This includes not only what you see on your bank statements, but your total assets, all of your worldly possessions, all of the stuff that would be included in your will for others to get when you die. That's your mammon. Your earthly mammon is not inherently evil. It's actually a gift of God. It's just a tool. It's the resources and the valuables of this world that will only last as long as this world lasts. So when the world ends, so does mammon. And you only get to use mammon when you're alive. When you die, you're done with it. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Now let me tell you this. There are two houses in this world. Houses that will be in constant contradiction and conflict until one of them finally falls. You know them well, because each of them has been fighting over you. Each of them wants you to be a servant. Each of them wants you to manage what you've got in a certain way with a certain goal in mind. Each one is after your heart and faith. These two are known as the House of Mammon and the House of God. We call it the House of Mammon because this is the house of those who recognize mammon as the highest power and the greatest good. Mammon defines this way, this truth, this life. Those of the house of God recognize God as the highest power and his will as the highest good. Jesus is our way, our truth, our life. The house of mammon, though, is where we feel most comfortable. It's a sensible place. The servants of this house understand how money works. Life is a zero-sum balance sheet. If you add to one place, you have to take away from another. If someone is getting something, someone else is losing something. Your wallet is only so big, so you only open it if you're going to get something in return. Whether that be goods or services, now or later, tax deductions, or just psychological satisfaction. Your wallet is only so big, so you don't make loans to people who can't pay you back. There's no such thing as a free lunch. The goal here is to be able to provide for yourself for your whole life. You manage what you've got so that you've got enough to last you, enough to live in comfort until you die. You take care of yourself so that no one else has to. That makes sense, right? One last thing. The House of Mammon is not picky about what kind of currency you're dealing in. It could be cash, or favors, time, influence, good words, or even good works. What matters to the servants of the House of Mammon is that you can leverage whatever you got for your own advantage. Now, the House of God, also known as that capital C church operated by the Holy Spirit on the cosmic scale, the House of God operates pretty stupidly in comparison. No one here can even find the balance sheet. The servants are just giving stuff away, and no one seems to be keeping track of who is getting how much or where anything is going. Much less do these servants give a thought to what they are getting out of the deal. The servants here are cheated and swindled. They're practically bleeding cash. They're giving it away like it isn't even theirs, like they've got nothing to lose. This isn't just a free lunch. It's a whole buffet. These servants don't manage their mammon expecting to provide for themselves until they die. They don't manage it so that they can live comfortably. They use whatever they've got to the advantage of others. According to the greatest financial minds of this age, they're managing money like morons. It seems like just a matter of time before the bubble bursts and the whole house goes under. One last thing. While the house of God certainly makes use of worldly wealth and resources, time and services and all of that rest, while it makes use of mammon, the only true currency accepted here is the precious blood of Jesus. And when you're dealing with something that's of infinite worth, like the shed blood of God, any kind of exchange, trade, leverage, dealing, it all becomes meaningless, doesn't it? So what's the point, Pastor? Why are you telling us all this? All right. I'm telling you because of verse 13 in our text. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. When it says servant here, it means servant of a house. Each house, each household has only one master, and you can't serve in two places at once. You live in either one house or you live in the other. You are either a servant in the house of God or you are a servant in the house of mammon. And if you die as a servant in the house of mammon, you die forever. Because that is the house of this world. That is the house that will perish when this world and all of its riches perish. That is the house that thinks that Jesus and his followers are frivolous, foolish, and just plain dumb. That is the house that hates and despises God. So that is the house that will fall. Now, we all know that we are supposed to want to live in the house of God. And you all belong in God's house. You belong here now and always because Jesus has bought you with his blood. You belong to him now. And his house is the very best place to be. The only place that you can really live freely, now and forever. But you've got to beware lest the house of mammon ensnare you with its lies and drag you back into its way of thinking and speaking and living and believing. Let me tell you a bit more about the house of mammon. This is a house built on fear. Fear of shame, fear of hardship and suffering, fear of want, fear of hunger, fear of death. It's the fear of pride. Fear that you might have to ask for help sometime. Fear that you must admit that you need someone else. That you must admit that you are completely dependent. You must admit that you are not in control. You must admit that you are not God. That's what the house of mammon is ultimately trying to do. It's trying to say, look, I don't need anyone. I don't need God. I can take care of myself. Look at what I've got. I can make my own safety. I can make my own heaven. I am the ultimate authority in my life. I am God. Make no mistake. The goal of the house of mammon is to set you up in God's place. Or better yet, set itself up as your God. That makes this house a house of sin, the house of pride, the house of death. The house of mammon is the house of the Pharisees, who were lovers of money. Whether they realized it or not, and really, whether they were rich or poor, they loved the idea of money, economic exchange of goods and services. You see, they sought to wheel and deal with God, using their good works as currency to buy God's favor, use their own righteousness as leverage to obligate God to hand over his kingdom. They sought to justify themselves, justify why they deserved God's favor. And it worked in front of other men. They were seeking to exalt themselves to their self-appointed spot on God's throne. So when they jeered at Jesus, they laughed at how the house of God uses its riches, laughed at what the house of God considers good and right and true. And so Jesus summed up the truth about the house of mammon in a single Greek word, velugma, abomination. Now consider what abomination means. It's something that is disgusting, defiling, detestable, loathsome, and revolting. Something that simultaneously enrages you and makes you want to puke. That is how God sees this perversion. Because this operation of the house of mammon, this love of money and mammon, is the absolute contradiction of everything that he is. It's the absolute opposite of how Jesus operates. By the standards of any auditor in the world, Jesus is wasting God's time and treasures. He's invested everything that he's got in fickle, lying people who are all selfish, broke, and broken thieves. That is to say, he's invested in us. Jesus gave us everything that we need for this life, and even more. He heals people without asking for payment. He gives us grace and forgiveness, canceling the debts of sin that we could never pay. He just lavishes everything on us without asking anything in return. He gives us his love. He gave us his death. He gives us his life. He gives us his kingdom. And what is he getting out of it? He's getting you. Your God has delivered you from that evil house of mammon. He's freed you from its shackles of fear. He's freed you from its shame. He's freed you from its death. You're in the house of God now. So no matter what you have or don't have here, no matter how you suffer or lack, no matter how you're cheated and swindled and mocked and despised, he's given you something far greater. He's given you the safety of his victory over death and the devil. There is nothing that can destroy you. He's given you resurrection to life in the splendor of his eternal dwelling. He's given you the feast of the Lamb, this rich feast of richest food and choicest wine. He's clothed you with the glory of Christ. What we have or lack here is nothing compared to the life that lies ahead of us. The life for which Jesus gave everything so that you could receive everything. Everything that you have then, but also everything that you have now. I mean, what could the house of mammon ever offer that could compare with this? Mammon's toil is pointless. Its promises are empty. Its foundation is hollow and crumbling. But the foundation of the house of God is built on Jesus' cross. It's because of that cross that God can bless you with money and possessions, all this mammon to use, because you're no longer his enemy, deserving only punishment and revulsion. You are his beloved child. Because of Jesus' cross, God can put clothes on your back, food on your table, a roof over your head. Because of Jesus' cross, you can have $5 in your pocket or $5 million. Doesn't matter how much you've got, it's all a gift from God, given for you to use according to your master's will. Now, what is that will? That whether you have a little or you have a lot, it's for you to use your treasures like Jesus does. For you to invest the temporal mammon that God has entrusted to you, invested not in yourself or your comfort and security, but in the people God has given to you. Now, this certainly includes your family, your friends, but it also includes all those God has put in your path, including those you like, and also including those who will reject you. For God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And that right there is the very specific goal that Jesus has in mind for your investing of earthly resources. I tell you the truth, he says. Make friends for yourselves by means of mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. You use what you've been given to use here. You use it to evangelize and support and defend and strengthen everyone that you can so they not only become Christians, but die in faith. You tithe to provide for the preaching of the word to them and to their children here where faith is formed and fed. You provide for them directly in times of need. Those times that you provide for them in order to rob the devil of opportunities to tempt them to sin or to tempt them to question God's love and care and promises to them. See, you're helping support them in their faith, protect their faith. You make sacrifices of yourself, of your time, of your comfort, your financial or even physical security to carry to them and to cover them with the blood of Jesus. What do you have to lose? Everything that you have and are is God's, beginning to end. I mean, really, what can you possibly lose that Jesus will not restore and give you still more? Consider, too, what do you have to gain? Make friends for yourselves by means of mammon. In this brief time that Jesus has given you to use that mammon well for the sake of those Jesus loves, those he desires for his kingdom. Because then, after you've died and left all your mammon at the grave, you'll stand up in the resurrection of the righteous and you will be welcomed by those very same Christians into the eternal dwellings. Their eternal lives in Christ are your true riches. And you are theirs. And all of us are more precious to Jesus than the entire world with all of its gold and silver, because he paid for us all with his own precious blood, that we may be his own and live under him in his house and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. In Jesus' house, you are forever rich in him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.